Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Going my way.
But is it really?
I've got a problem.
Yeah, I got a problem with a toilet.
We have a big problem.
We have come up with grubs and nothing seems to be helping.
I have a toilet that when I flush it and the water comes back up, it whistles.
Got a problem? Have a question? You're not the only one.
Is there anything you can do to help me?
There sure is. Call Lou Manfredini here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, by ChevyDriveChicago.com, and by the Lindemann Chimney Company. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. When you call in, Elif is sitting in for Lindsay another Saturday. She's going to return next week. She's still in Scotland at the premiere of her father's film. What's the name of the father's film again? Tommy's Honor, the motion picture about the guy, I guess, that invented golf. So if you're a golfer and you're wanting to check out that movie, I don't know if it's going to come to the U.S. I would imagine it would. But they've been there, and we've been texting back and forth. They've said that it's going quite well. And Elif is sitting in the producer's chair. Good morning, Elif. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. We got a lot to talk about today. Or Noodaloo, too. Elif, are you a biker?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Well, you're going to like the bike. I'm not going to say. You're going to like the Noodaloo,
yes.
Too. What do you do with your bike?
Well, really, I don't ride it in the city, but I like to ride it through the woods.
Through the woods?
Yes.
Okay. With, like, a stick so you don't get attacked by any animals?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, well, our Noodaloo, too, is for you bikers that are always looking for innovative ways to store it. Then after 8:30 this morning, summertime is here and sunscreen is a must for a myriad of reasons. We're going to be talking to a senior scientist and one of the authors of the 2016 Sunscreen Guide. Because if you're working outside in the garden, you're working outside improving your home, or you're just going to the beach, whatever it is, there's so much discussion about which sunscreen is the best for you, or, you know, how much SPF you should actually have. And it's just incredible to me the amount of information that's out there and I guess information that confuses us all. So we're going to learn a little bit about that after 8:30 this morning. Also, my friends out at the Glenview Ace Hardware Store, which is on Waukegan Road, are doing their annual hot dog day. This is Weiss Ace Hardware, which is at 1560 Waukegan Road in Glenview. And today they're having their hot dog day, which is going to benefit Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. And it's dedicated to the memory of Lucas Bear Cervoni. They're going to have Wanda's Donut Balls and Coffee from Glenview Grind from 8 till 11. Food and beverages from 10 until 3. Hot dogs from Good and Fresh Pizza and Bakery. They're $2 each. Hamburgers from Hackney's on Lake, $3 each. Coca-Cola and water beverages, $1 each. There's raffle tickets. You could win a Weber Spirit gas grill, a beach cruiser bicycle, Cubs or Sox tickets, Glenview Park District family swim pass, gift cards, gift baskets, and a lot more. And there's a celebrity dunk tank. I will not be in it. That will be in a dunk tank. A bunch of people are going to be in their local dignitaries will be jumping inside there. And they're going to have music as well. This is an annual event where they raise a ton of money. And as I mentioned, all the proceeds go to Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. So that's today, Saturday, June 18th. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning at Weiss Ace Hardware, 1560 Waukegan Road in Glenview. So that's a good one. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get to your phone calls right now. Hanging on this morning, our first call this morning is Jim from Carroll Stream. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, Lou. How are you?
Terrific, terrific.
Great. Listen, I'm having my front sidewalk replaced, and I have a downspout right there, and that's the reason it eroded the soil and it's tilting towards the house. And what they want to do is divert that downspout, run a PVC underground under the sidewalk into stone and out to the lawn. But where does that, you know, where does that go then? I mean, will it back up, or do they need like a channel drain kit in there or what?
So what they can do if they want to do this, there's nothing wrong with this, but two things you got to talk to them about. At the other end, we need something called a bubbler pot. And in the ground, it's going to be this green plastic cap that's like a top hat almost like it. When it's flat, you would walk over it, you could drive over it with a lawnmower, doesn't matter. When it rains and the water builds up, the center of it pops up and the water goes into the grass. Okay? But, and it works. I mean, if it's pitched correctly and the pressure from there, it works really well. But what you need, where they connect it to the ground, going into the ground and under the sidewalk, I need a clean out. So next to it, I want them to put another pipe, like a Y or a T, that you can stick a hose down so that if leaves get in it and clog it and you notice it's not running as well, you can force the water through there to get the leaves out of there.
Okay.
Without having to disconnect it from the downspout.
Without, yeah, I get you separate.
Yeah.
Okay, is that thing called a pop-up drainage emitter?
A bubbler pot. So when you talk to them, say, hey, I want some kind of clean out, at the house. And then at the other end, I want you to put a bubbler pot in the lawn that'll pop up, and then you'll be able to clean it out whenever you want with the clean out, and then you can run over it, like I mentioned, with the lawnmower all day long. It doesn't matter. All right, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. It's 7:19 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Amy Guth. Saturday nights from 7 to 9 p.m., you're listening to my friend Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Thanks, Amy. 7:24 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200, that's our phone number. That's also our text line. After 9:30 this morning, we'll do our Just Text Me segment where LF will read a bunch of texts. We'll try and help out as many people as possible. Here is Debbie, who is in Hanover Park. Debbie, you are on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Happy Father's Day weekend.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
How can I help you?
I've got a problem with my deck. We've got a deck that's about 20 years old. We've every second year stained it with a Sherwin-Williams product, mm-hmm. cedar-colored toner that is a oil-based.
Okay.
And this we've had great luck with the product, beat it up the water nicely. This season, we've got peeling occurring a lot. And it's a huge deck, and my husband and I are getting a little bit up in years, and we don't really feel like sanding this down. So I need a quick, inexpensive fix, Lou.
Yeah, I know. It stinks to get old. Especially when you know it, like you're doing a couple things going, gosh, I'm winded. What happened? What is going on?
Right.
I know. I hate it. Okay. So the deck is 20 years old.
Right.
And you've been using this oil-based product forever.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to change the oil that you use to try and get it to last longer. So my guess is when you do it, you pressure wash it and then you let it dry and then you apply the stain?
That's correct.
Okay, so the step that you're missing is you have to sand the deck.
Oh.
I know. Now, hear me out. Is most of the peeling on the deck portion, the flat horizontal portions?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to pressure wash the deck like you did before, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. make any repairs. You know, here's a loose board, here's a whatever. Then you're going to mm-hmm. rent a large pad sander for sanding decks. It's a big rectangular square. It's probably 1 foot by 2 foot of a pad with this heavy weighted motor that sits on top. And then you or your husband can sand that whole deck. I need to take the shine, the wood shine, off of that 20-year-old wood. It almost gets petrified, okay? And if you don't open up the pores of that wood, you're going to do this every 2 years. So you're going to do this with the big, large sander, and then you're going to also get a smaller palm sander. And the place is, because the wood's going to cup, you're not going to get everywhere. And then you're going to come in with a little oscillating sander or random orbit sander and get all the areas nice and sanded. Then you're going to use my new favorite product. You have a pen or a pencil?
I'm ready. I'm writing.
Penafin oil-based stain.
Will you spell that for me, Lou?
P-E-N-O-F-I-N. Now, there's not a lot of places that carry it, so you can go to their website. We actually carry it at our two stores in Villa Park and in Edgebrook at our Aces. But there might be a dealer near you that's closer in Hanover Park.
I'm not that far from Villa Park.
From 46 South Villa Avenue, Villa Park Ace Hardware?
Yeah, that's not that bad a ride,
I'm
right?
Just kidding. I'm plugging my own store. Exactly. So anyway, this is a rosewood oil-based deck stain. You've been using a linseed oil-based deck stain. And so I'm telling you, the trick in this, Debbie, is you got to sand. I know your husband's, like, rolling his eyes going, God, that Lou Manfredini, all he does is create more work for me. And I get it. I understand. But this is the trick. And then the way that the Penafin goes on, it's different than the Sherwin-Williams product. This is a brush-on product only.
Okay.
So you're going to brush a few boards, you get to the end, and then you're going to take a rag and you're going to wipe it off. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get at least 3 years of performance out of it.
Oh.
When you go to do it the second time and that rose oil really has a chance to piggyback on that first layer, it'll be 5 years before you do it again. Because you know what?
Excellent.
Seven years from now, you're going to be even older than you are now.
Well, I might be dead, Lou.
No. Hey, you know what? Hang on a second. Let's send you out. I don't have my prize list in front of me, but I know I've got these executive green carpet cleaning certificates where they'll come and clean 3 rooms of your house from Executive
Heat. I love it.
CarpetCleaning.com. So hang on a second. Ella will get your information.
Thanks so much, Lou.
Yeah, and then hold on. And then, Ella, if you see if you can find that the actual thing on the prize list and then read that later so we know what's going on. And before we break, the gentleman I was talking to before, Jim from Carroll Stream, when we put him on hold, he's like, oh, wait, what was that product you talked about for the chipmunks? It is Bonide's M-O-L-E, Max Sonic, which is a spike that you put in the ground and you put batteries in it. They also make a solar version, and it chatters in the ground and it'll keep moles away. It'll drive them away. You need to put one like every 30 feet if you've got a big mole problem, but it works on chipmunks. And I've now been using it at our house. I think it's 5 weeks. Haven't seen a chipmunk. Now, Enzo may be eating them as far as I know, but I don't think he is because he's not that fast, but it works. Bonide Mole Max Sonic. 7:30 in the morning. Quick break, and then we'll get to Susan Berkus' news.
This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she loves me.
7:40 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Thanks so much for joining us. We're here until 10. Kathy and Judy coming up after that. Susan Berkus, nice to have you on this morning. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you. How about yourself?
Very nice. Very nice. You sound good. You're feeling good.
It's a good day.
It is a good day. Very nice. Anything going on? Anything fun going on this weekend for you?
Well, no. Actually, we just got back from vacation and just Father's Day kind of, you know, day tomorrow.
Share with the class where you went?
We did. We went out out west. We went to California.
Oh, very nice. Beautiful. Oof.
Yeah.
Other than the earthquakes and the fires and the mudslides, it's great.
Exactly. There was an earthquake while we were there.
Oh, were you there for, were you in Southern California?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we were. Oh, wow. And nobody else felt it but me. It woke me up, but I wasn't too concerned.
Oh, that, I think the earthquake thing would really bother me.
You know, we had a bigger one, I think, in Illinois, I want to say, within the last few years, that that was more disturbing than the one, at least in California, you expect it, right?
Right, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I love California. It's beautiful. And I get a chance every now and then to go out there for business and even pleasure. And I've been out there with my wife, and it's like, I know why people live here. It's so nice.
It is.
You know, I guess every place has its problems.
Very pricey.
You could get used, right. And it's pricey. Yeah, exactly. All right. Nice chatting with you. Susan will be back at 8 o'clock this morning with another report of news. Let's get back to your phone calls right now. Paige is in Geneva. Hello, Paige. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a mystery smell in my foyer. Every time it rains, I get a mold or mildewy smell in there that lasts for about a day, and then it just goes away. And I've lived here for about 2.5 years now, and it happens just about every time it rains, and I'm not sure what the source could be or who I even called to look into it.
When it rains, you get a smell in your foyer. Tell me about the foyer. What is the front door is exposed to the outside? Is there a porch over the top of it? When you walk into the front door, what kind of flooring are you stepping onto?
Okay, as you walk up to my front door, I have a porch that has a balcony above it. And then, so it's, you know, the front porch is covered, but then there is a balcony above that.
And there's a door that leads out to that balcony?
Yes.
Okay.
The door is to the side. It's not directly above the front door. Directly above the front door is a giant picture window.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And then there's
Now
I have hardwood floors when I come in.
And so you only smell it, and then that hardwood floor continues throughout the house, or is it picture framed or anything, or no?
It goes throughout the first floor.
Okay. And there's no staining that you can see on the wall, where the wall meets the ceiling on the inside, just on the inside of that door?
No.
No.
It's a vaulted, it's a two-story foyer also.
Got it. Okay, I can exactly picture what it looks like. So I'm going to bet that you have a breach, that moldy, mildewy smell. And when you look down at the hardwood floor, are you in this house now that you're calling me from?
Yes.
Okay. When you look at the hardwood floor, like near the doorway, around that area, the wood floor is nice and flat. It's not cupped anywhere, is it? You don't see any boards that have some cupping?
No.
Nothing like that. So I think you probably have a breach somewhere around the doorway and or that big picture window above the door, or even near the balcony where water is coming in and that mildew and mold is in the walls.
Okay, so who do I call for that?
And it gets wet, and that's what you're smelling. So you need, if you want professional help, like someone to come out and take a look at it and possibly open up a wall, there's a company out of Chicago called Mold Solutions. Actually, they're, where are you calling from?
Geneva.
I think they're actually on the south side, or they might be Orland or something like that. But if you go to Mold Solutions, I believe their website is moldsolutionschicago.com or .org. I think it's .com. But just Google Mold Solutions. You'll come up with somebody. This is what they do. And so they can come out and diagnose the problem. They're probably going to have to open up those walls, probably take the insulation out, and then fix the problem. But, yeah, I know, but the fact that you say, I've lived here 2 years and it's been going on for so long, this is a major health thing that you have to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, so don't Google that. Find them. Have them come out, give you an estimate on what's going on. And then, you know, then you can attack it the right way, but I bet it's in the wall. Based on what you're describing to me, that's where the problem is. All right, it's 7:45 in the morning. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's going to be our Noodaloo 2. If you're a biker and you're always struggling to store your bike, in particular, I think if you're a biker in an apartment where you don't have a lot of storage areas and you like to go around and ride on your bike and then you got to put it somewhere, you're going to love this Noodaloo 2. We'll be back right after these. 7:49 in the morning. You know I love to bring you these Noodaloo 2 products that are things these people send me and I read about that I think are pretty useful, and some of them I love, and some of them I love with a little bit of a tweak. But this one I think is a good one. Take a listen.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
We've got a new parking solution for you this weekend, and I'm not talking about for your car. Designed to fit the lifestyle of any cyclist, the Bike Butler is going to be your new best friend. It doesn't matter if you're a daily commuter, a weekend warrior, or somewhere in between. The Bike Butler parks your bike in a neat, organized way and simultaneously clears space in your garage, home, or office. More easily described, it's a valet for your bike. The Bike Butler is a simple, wall-mounted bike stand that holds your bike by its seat post, keeping it upright so that it doesn't tip over and put dents in your walls and scratches on your floor. It's made of durable steel with a silver powder coat, and between rides, the bike stand folds to save space in your apartment or your garage. This is particularly great for anyone with a small space trying to store a bike. I know a bunch of people that live in the city with smaller apartments and condos that shove their bikes in the corner or in stairwells, anywhere just to get them out of the way. Well, the Bike Butler is your answer. It retails for $20 on various sites. You just need to Google Delta Bike Butler. Delta's the company. But right now, it actually looks like REI has it on sale for $15. Deal. You can find out more at deltacycle.com. I'll put all this information and even a little video up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page at WGNradio.com, also up on his Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's basically a anodized, some kind, it's like a painted pole with two little screws that you're going to hit the stud, because you want to definitely, when you mount it, hit something sturdy that you clip and fold out of the way. So it goes flat against the wall. If you're an apartment dweller, you pop this thing out, it grabs onto the post, holds the bike there, piece of cake. You know, there's wall hanging things where you can hang on the tire, but it takes up a ton of space. This keeps the bike nice, neatly right up against the wall. And it's affordable. It's $15. I really, really like this Bike Butler. We've got the information up on our WGN Radio page, my page on WGNRadio.com. And you can go to my Facebook page. It's there as well. And as mentioned, if you're on VibeScore, the Vibe app that John Williams and company invented, vibe about it and tell us what you think about it. I'd love to hear and talk about how well it does. If you think it's useful, whatever, just let us know. 7:52 in the morning. Let's take a quick call. James is in Palos. Hey, James, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Great. How can I help you, sir?
I have multiple questions on attic ventilation, the mushroom caps they put on the roof. They're not working, so I want to put in an exhaust fan. But my question is, hardwire versus a solar? Do the solar work and do they last, or will it be a maintenance issue?
So I love the solar. The problem is the solar only works when the sun is out. There's no battery one yet that operates when the sun goes down. So the problem is when we get those, you know, we get that week of super hot 90s and that attic is smoking hot up there that's banked up against your ceiling and you got the AC running, you want that exhaust fan to run in the evening because it's going to be set up to a thermostat. You don't get that with the solar. The maintenance part of the solar, not a problem. You know, they're not cheap. They're $500-$600, but there's no wiring that you have to run. But my biggest draw, go ahead.
I was going to say, so on those hot, humid days when the sun's not out, that unit will not be working.
Well, no, because it doesn't need direct sunlight. You know, the light, even through a cloudy day, it'll run, but at night it won't. So my point is, you know, it's 90 degrees all day on a Wednesday, and it's hot at night, and now it's 10 o'clock at night in the summer, and it's dark outside finally. Not finally, because I like all the daylight, but my point is, once the sun goes down, it's not working.
And it's still hot.
And it's still hot in the attic. So for my money, while I like them, I mean, you know, it's the type of thing, I don't know, if you got a really big roof and you want to do one in one spot and use it and have the other one be on a thermostat, that's fine. But as a rule, until they figure out the whole battery side of it, you know, that they have some kind of battery that they can get, even if it's a couple of hour runtime, I think would be really useful. But I just think it's a price issue at this point where that doesn't exist.
Okay. One other question, if you have the moment.
Yep.
On the exhaust in the bathrooms, what they did is when they ran these out, they ran them up vertical, and then the exhaust dead ends doesn't go – I'm sorry, they ran them horizontal. They don't go vertical, so it exhausts right below one of those mushroom caps. And when I'm looking at that, I'm thinking – in winter, with that dense, warm air coming out, that's
correct.
Just going to fall right back into my attic again, is it not?
It does. You're absolutely right. You were paying attention at physics class when you were in high school.
No, I was paying attention to you for the last 2 years.
Well, I would have paid more attention in high school. But, no, you're right. And that's a mistake that a lot of builders and HVAC guys make. The physics behind it doesn't work. They have to be vented outside directly. So, you know, the trick there is you can either use what's called a roof jack or a roof vent jack where they go through the roof and you connect it there. Or if you can go out of the soffit and do a vent that way, that works. But you have to directly vent it all the way out, because if you don't, exactly what you said is going to happen. That moisture, that warm air on a really cold day where we live will not allow it to go out. The fans just aren't powerful enough to do it. So it has to be vented directly out. And the other thing, too, for those listening, if you're ever doing an exhaust fan, the trick there is that when the fan is mounted in the ceiling, and if you're going vertically to go up to a roof, I've given this advice for years, Have the pipe run about 2 feet horizontally first, and then angle up like on a 45-degree angle to the roof jack and insulate that. The whole idea is that I want a place for the water to catch, and when that fan runs, the moisture, if it's super cold, doesn't come back and leak through the fan, and that's a way to avoid it. Thanks so much for the phone call. It is 7:57 in the morning. Hey, do you like to get out of the city and relax once in a while? Who doesn't? You could end up at a water park again or spend your life savings on another exhausting trip to Orlando. Sounds great, right? But instead, what if you could start a new tradition at Heritage Harbor? Less than 90 minutes from Chicago, this waterfront community is on the Illinois River. Yes, there's water besides Lake Michigan. The coastal-inspired architecture will make you feel like you're far away, yet close to home. Set in the Starved Rock area, Heritage Harbor is perfect for boaters and non-boaters alike. And if you're a boater, well, you're going to be a short walk from your slip. Or you can choose a home, a vacation cottage, or a townhome and be steps away from adventure. Select the home site and design of your dream cottage. All homes are located on a 142-acre resort and come in a wide range of prices. Perfect for everyone. Visit discoverheritageharbor.com or call 815-433-5000. This is the place to take back your life.
WGN Radio, can I get your first name? Hello?
Hello.
Yes, this is the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's me.
Me who?
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we have a bad connection. Did you say you're eating beets?
Hello.
Yep, still here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
California dreaming.
Okay, this is a very busy show. We're going to have to speed this up a little. Hi, do you have a question for Lou?
How are you?
I am terrific. Will you hang on a minute? We've got another call. Hello, WGN Radio.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a long show. But we're taking your calls right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:08 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by Permaseal Basement Systems.
That was outstanding.
Right? Isn't that good? She's good.
I love She's that.
I'm telling you, I'm one of the only, it's an eclectic mix of music that you hear on the Mr. Fix-It Show when we come back.
Pretty did she sure ever, did Adele ever call back?
No, she never did.
Oh.
No.
Sorry.
I think I could help her, though. I really do. Sam, do you run into one Steve Alexander occasionally in your travels? Have you ever met Steve before?
I see him about twice a month.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Susan, you know Steve, don't you, Steve Alexander?
Susan is boogieing back over to the newsroom.
Oh, she just stepped away. Oh, all right. Sorry. Never mind. Well, you know, he used to do the news on our show, and we love him to death, but he just doesn't like to wake up, you know. He just likes to sleep in now on Saturdays. But every now and then he sends me a few jokes just to remind us that, you know, life is funny and we should, you know, stop for a minute and laugh a little bit. He sent me a bunch of them there. It says, on a plumber's truck, we repair what your husband fixed. On another plumber's truck, it says, don't sleep with a drip, call your plumber. At a tire shop in Milwaukee, invite us to your next blowout. Ooh, that was a good one. On an electrician's truck, it said, let us remove your shorts. It's good, clean fun, right? Right? It's good. I love it. Thank you, Steve. Miss you. Love you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show here. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's see who's been hanging on. We got Jay, who is, where's Jay? Where's Jay from? I got to see where Jay is from. Where are you from, Jay? Prospect Heights. I lived in Prospect Heights when I was in high school for a brief moment.
Did you really?
I did. Right over there by, is the night, what was Palwaukee Airport? Was that Wheeling or was that Prospect Heights?
That was Prospect Heights.
Yeah, right down the street from there. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I've got a problem with a brick paver patio that I put in last year. I replaced a patio that had been there for a long time, used Unilock bricks of a particular product called Il Campo, reddish brown, great contractor. The product gets put down, and there's this white haze over much of it. So I couldn't rinse it off, and I couldn't scrub it off, and I called the contractor, and he said, oh, that's normal. It'll go away. It's effluence. So he came back out, and he did an acid wash, and it got better, but it's still pretty prominent. Paul came, and we talked again, and he said he was afraid to do another acid wash because he'd hurt the color. We let it go through the winter, and now it's a full year. And it still shows. He called Unilock, and they said, well, just put a sealer on it. That'll cover it up. Eventually, it'll go away. The other point is that on the 12 by 12 bricks, it sort of forms a pattern. If you can envision, the middle 6 inches square is perfect and the right color, and the perimeter around it is where the white resides. And I'm just not sure what to do and what the contractor or Unilock's responsibility should be.
Okay, couple things. This is a manufacturing issue. My guess is that efflorescence they're talking about, they probably use during the manufacturing process. I mean, I'm trying to think of, I don't know off the top of my head where Unilock's brick manufacturing is. I know they're, you know, they get a big warehouse out here, but I don't know that they make bricks in, if they make them here in Illinois, I just don't know that. They could, but they may be during the manufacturing process using a little calcium chloride in the mix. And what you're seeing is that calcium chloride that's coming out. It's not uncommon in, to be used when masons are doing, building a brick home in the wintertime. They use the calcium chloride to make sure that the mortar doesn't freeze when it's cold, in particular overnight. But the fact that you had a Unilock dealer, you know, and now Unilock is aware of this problem, what they're saying is not, it's not unreasonable that it will eventually go away, but in the meantime, you have something that's not aesthetically pleasing. So I would probably give them one more year. Mm-hmm. You said you did it last year or 2 years
ago? Virtually at this time.
Okay.
1 year.
Right. So what we need to do is we need those bricks need to wick out. You know, if we had a really rainy, you know, month or so where those bricks really got saturated, that would help. How big is this patio?
Oh, it's pretty big. I don't know. It's 30 by 50 or maybe even larger than that.
I would not put a sealer on it now because that chloride, and I'm almost, I mean, you'd have to test it, but I'll bet you money it's a calcium chloride in there. If you seal it, it's going to bang up against that sealer, and it's not going to look good, and it's going to create even more of a problem. So I think what I would do is get in writing from Unilock to say, okay, you told me this is going to go away. I'm willing to give it another season. But then what are we going to do to address this next spring if it's not any better? And take a bunch of pictures and, you know, send
that.
Right, and send that to them and go and you know, and get them in writing to say, okay, we're going to back this thing up or we're going to talk about it. We'll revisit it in the spring of 2017 or whatever. And in the meantime, what you can do is, you know, you can try neutralize. I wouldn't do any more acid washing, but, you know, things like if you wanted to use a light solution of CLR and warm water, okay, which is a lactic acid base, but it's milder, you could put that in a bucket with a deck scrubbing brush and take that, scrub the patio, let it sit there for half an hour or so, and then rinse it. And do that, you know, do that this time of year and maybe hit it one more time in the fall like that. Mm-hmm. And that's the best it's going to get. I mean, then over the winter, stay away from, do you use this patio? Like, do you, in the wintertime, do you have to access the patio to, like, come from the garage or anything like that?
No, not at all. I mean, I have a grill that sits right out my back door, but we don't use the patio at all.
Okay, so you don't put any calcium chloride ice melt on there in the wintertime as a rule?
None.
Don't add anything more to it to create more of a problem. But I would definitely get in writing all these conversations and talk with that rep so you can revisit this in the spring. But it's a manufacturing issue.
Yeah, but in the ordinary course, you think it should leach out.
It should leach out. It absolutely should leach out. Yeah. Hey, do me a favor. Hang on a second. I got lots of fun stuff on the prize list. I'm going to have Ella put you on hold. The Spohm prize pack we're going to send out to you containing the most effective natural and organic products for your garden. Find a Spohm products at the local flower and gardens retailers and participating Ace Hardware stores. It's a $25 value. 8:17 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. The Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You are tuned in to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show. He's always got lots to talk about and lots of questions to answer. So give us a call, 312-981-7200 on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
I love this song.
The voice in my head that drives my heel.
8:21 in the morning, Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to John in Woodridge. John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a concern about kerosene. If you remember back 16 years ago when we had the Y2K scare and the world was supposed to fall apart.
Yes.
I bought a kerosene heater and a number of jerry cans of kerosene.
Now, so you were full on in the the world was going to fall apart.
I was a little concerned.
I got you.
So I've been storing the kerosene, and fortunately I've never had to use the heater. But as I look at these plastic jerry cans, I only have about half as much or less kerosene in each container. Okay. Is that kerosene still good? Has it evaporated and become more concentrated? What should I do with it?
It's evaporated, for sure. Is it any good? No. So fuel, typically, I assume you didn't put any treatment in it, but even so, 16 years, I mean, would it still burn? Sure, but if you were to put it in those kerosene heaters, the real risk in that is that for those kerosene heaters to work properly, the kerosene has to burn fully. And that now has gummed up a little bit, and the chemical makeup has changed. And so it's not something that I would use. Now, okay. Disposing of it is a problem. I'm
would
not quite sure.
Centers take it?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, if they would take a fuel like that. I mean, ultimately, what they're going to do is burn it off. But, I mean, someone. That's a tough one about where to take it to. You know, things like, I believe in Illinois, if you're going to change your own oil on your car, a lot of service stations will take the spent oil from you. But I don't know if they'll take fuel. Although, kerosene is, is technically a fuel oil, technically. They may. So, you know, and that can get mixed into the waste oil that, say, like a Jiffy Lube or somebody like that's taking. So maybe what you do is find out if someone in your area would be willing to take it, like a service station.
Okay.
Because there are recycling, those fuel companies, they're recycling that stuff all the time, and maybe they'll take it. Are you still planning on being prepared for stuff? I mean, what do you want to do with all that stuff?
Well, I'll certainly keep the heater, but my concern was what to do with the kerosene. I really
yeah.
didn't know if it was any good or not, and I certainly didn't want to cause a problem with it.
No. That stuff is, I wouldn't use it because I would be concerned if you did. It becomes a huge carbon monoxide issue. I'm not personally a huge fan of those kerosene heaters to be used indoors. I just think that they're more risk than they're worth because they have to be in really good shape. But I mean, that being said, they're a rated product that people use all the time, and so you just have to come to your own decision on that of whether or not you want to use it or not. And but again, you have to make sure that the wicks are clean and all the ports are clean, all that stuff. And the fuel has to be relatively fresh. If you're going to store any kind of fuel more than 30 days, then you really should be putting some type of treatment in there, some fuel stabilizer, which typically will get you a year of use, not 16 years. And in particular, I was talking with a friend of mine who bought one of these. He's got an electric car. I think it's a BMW that has a little bitty motor also. It's a lot, I think, like the Chevy Volt. It's their version where there's an engine that keeps going when the battery runs out. Even if you have a Chevy Volt, that fuel doesn't get used a lot. Anybody that has a hybrid car that is filling up once a month or longer needs to be buying bottles of fuel stabilizer and putting that in the fuel. Because that's a long time to be sloshing around in the heat and the cold, and you know, depending on the time of year, where you do need to treat that that fuel to make sure that it's burning cleanly and not affecting the overall performance of whatever engine you have in that hybrid. And that's same for storing any kind of fuel that you might have for an emergency purpose. John, thanks so much for the phone call. It's 8:26 in the morning. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back right after these.
My sunshine, my
here we go.
You make me happy. Skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
I love the sun. Hi, welcome back. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 8:36 in the morning. I love the sun. Spend a lot of time out in it. We have a home in southeastern Wisconsin where we're constantly saying when the kids run out on the, outside, hey, do you got sunscreen on? Yeah. And they like put a spritz on, and then the next day you see they have all these splotches where they didn't do it. So I am pretty good about it, making sure that I use it as well as anybody around us. But they are not all created equal, and also there is a ton of, misinformation or bad information, or maybe there's too much information. So we're going to try and get to the bottom of it all with Dr. David Andrews, who's joining us on the line. He's a senior scientist and one of the authors of the 2016 Sunscreen Guide. Dr. Andrews, thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be on today.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about your background on this topic, please.
Sure. I've been working on this issue at Environmental Working Group for about eight years now, and really diving into the science of sunscreens, the regulation of sunscreens, and, you know, really a deeper understanding of what's available on the market for consumers, as well as, you know, bigger issues of sun safety and long-term skin cancer risks and some of the damaging effects that overexposure to the sun can cause.
There was a kind of a revamp of the whole SPF thing. Was it about a 2 years ago or so where there was, and maybe you guys were part of this study where they were saying, hey, you know, anything over, anybody that says they have over a 50 SPF, it's, you can't get that high, and you really have to pay attention to what the label says.
Right. So this was actually a number of years ago by FDA, actually the Food and Drug Administration. They regulate sunscreens, and they raised a red flag saying, you know, we're concerned that these higher SPF products are misleading. And so what they do is they solicited comments from the industry and have really dragged their feet on taking action. Many other countries around the world limit the SPF at 50. And, you know, we actually think that's a really good idea, partially because higher SPF products seem to give users a false sense of security. And one of the important aspects of sunscreen use is that when you're using sunscreen, you don't use it to change your behavior and stay in the sun longer, because that really negates the benefit that you could get from it.
Right. All right, let me back you up. SPF, what does it stand for?
So this is the sun protection factor. It really gives an indication of it increases the amount of sunlight you can be exposed to before your skin turns red. And actually, it's a measurement and a test that's done on people. They expose them to a high intensity light for a short period of time, and then you look the next day to see how red the skin gets.
Okay, so let's talk about just sort of the whole concept of sunscreen. I place this onto my skin, you know, whether it's my neck, my face, my back, whatever it is, and the chemicals that are in this are creating almost some type of film or sheet that's reducing the amount of UV that my skin is exposed to.
That's generally how they work. Yes. So you apply this cream to your body. It does create a film. And then the molecules, the chemicals in this sunscreen actually absorb the radiation so that it doesn't get absorbed by your skin and potentially cause damaging effects.
Now, you've been studying this a long time. I know that, you know, more convenience-based products in sunscreen have come out. And, you know, I've always been one where I have like a big bottle of the 30 sports sunscreen, whatever it is, and I squirt it on my hands and I just rub it all over my body. But then these sprays, who say they do the same thing, where, you know, it's easier to apply, do you have a preference over the cream versus the spray? Or when I look at the Copper Tone or whatever, you know, whatever the brand may be that says it's SPF 30 in the spray or it's SPF 30 in the cream, are they both the same thing?
It's a great question. There's still a lot of uncertainty about what kind of coverage you get from the spray product. As a general recommendation, we suggest that consumers and the public seek out the cream products, you know, the big bottle that you've always had around.
Right.
Because you know you get uniform coverage across the body. You apply some on your hand, you rub it in, and you're good to go. Oftentimes people will spray. You might miss spots, and there's also the potential that you're unnecessarily inhaling some of that sunscreen, which you don't really need the sunscreen on the inside of your lungs. You want it on the outside.
You sent a bunch of questions, which I thought was interesting, and that I want to ask you, to elaborate on. But one of the things I want to ask you, we talk about putting all these chemicals on our bodies, and, you know, there's a huge trend, in particular with millennials, who want to avoid as much chemical exposure as possible. How safe are these chemicals to be putting on our bodies? And I guess the other question, too, Dr. Andrews, is there are there organic materials out there?
That's a great question. So across the sunscreen market, there's a huge range of options. And by and large, all of this, the majority of sunscreen chemicals, the sunscreen products you use on the market are relatively safe. People have been using these for a long period of time. The health risks are relatively are quite low. And we know that, you know, the alternative, it's a risk-benefit calculation here.
Right.
We know it's extremely damaging to get sunburned. That being said, we do recommend certain products over other products because we think they have a better combination of chemicals, both in terms of the efficacy as well as a better combination of chemicals in terms of, you know, what we know about the health effects that those chemicals could cause. And so we do recommend that consumers, when possible, avoid products that use oxybenzone, which is actually quite common in sunscreens, especially the high SPF products. And then we also recommend that consumers check the label and avoid products that have retinol palmitate or vitamin A. And so these are two ingredients that have raised some health concerns. And there's alternatives on the market, so it's easy to avoid them. And so it really it's you know, if it comes down to it, and you've only got one product in front of you, it's probably best to use it if that's going to be what it takes to avoid a sunburn. But when you have the choice, you know, you're at the store, it's really easy to look on our website, ewg.org. We actually have an app for phones, and we direct you to what we think are the best choices on the market.
Do people still use zinc oxide, like the white? You know, I had this roommate in college, Dave Geertz, who had a really big nose. And and he always put that white zinc oxide on his nose because he didn't want to burn. I mean, is that you guys feel that's effective and safe?
Yeah, absolutely. So the zinc oxide products in our evaluations do extremely well. They have two benefits, one being very, very low concern about toxicity, and they're extremely effective at blocking both UVB and UVA radiation. And so that's important in terms of long-term health impacts. At least there's been a big change, you know, in the last 20 years. The new zinc oxide products don't look like white paint on your face.
Right.
And so there has been innovation in this space. Those products are still very effective. They're just not as whitening.
One other thing you mentioned in some of the literature you sent me is the fact that in Europe, the sunscreen and the chemicals that they use is very different than in the U.S. The U.S. is a little bit more restrictive as to what can be used in sunscreen. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we've actually worked with Congress in the last few years, organizationally and personally, on trying to revamp the way FDA evaluates some of these potentially very beneficial ingredients that are being used in other places in the world. But at this, you know, at this point, FDA says we don't have enough safety information on these new replacement chemicals. But at the same time, they have even less information on some of the chemicals that are already on the market. And
right.
So it's a little bit of a catch-22 here, where there's a number of chemicals that look to be very beneficial, and U.S. citizens could really benefit from their use in products.
Right.
And yet there's not quite enough safety information for the FDA to approve their use.
Right. One other thing I'm going to ask you before we send people so how they can find more information, but the one thing you pointed out early is that sunscreen is not an excuse to stay out in the sun longer because it can have, you know, terrible effects, too much exposure to the sun. But talk about reapplying. In other words, you said that your group and you guys prefer the cream versus the spray. How often should you be reapplying that, and does it depend on your activities?
Right. Sunscreen should be reapplied every 2 hours, and that doesn't change with the SPF that you're using. And I think that's really important. You know, there's this idea that you can buy an SPF 100 product and you're good for the entire day, and that's not correct. The sunscreen can rub off. You may have actually missed some spots. It's very important to apply every 2 hours. And then if you're, you know, excessive sweating, spending a lot of time in the water, you may have to apply more often.
Right. That's really interesting stuff, and there's really some terrific information that you sent that I know is available to folks. Where do they find out more information about your organization and about sunscreen and the right way to use it and the kind of stuff they should be using?
Sure. We've got an incredible amount of information that we've put together. It's at ewg.org. That's the website for the organization, and ewg.org/sunscreen has all of our 2016 information. We've got we evaluate and rank what we think are all the top products on the market. We looked at actually over 750 beach and sports sunscreens this year. Wow. And then we've got an incredible amount of resources in terms of the science behind sunscreen, you know, the information we reviewed when we put this together.
Awesome. Dr. David Andrews, he's with the Environmental Working Group. He's a senior scientist and one of the authors of the 2016 Sunscreen Guide. Dr. Andrews, thank you so much for waking up with us this morning, giving us this great information, and don't forget to wear a hat.
Absolutely. Incredibly important. Wear a hat and a shirt are a fantastic way to go.
That's so great. Thanks so much for joining us. It is 8:48 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll take a quick break and be right back. 8:52 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's get back to the phone calls right now. We've got Rob in Brookfield. Rob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. How are you?
Terrific. How can I help you, sir?
Oh, I wish we'd had some SPF 50 sunscreen for our deck. about 7 years ago, we had a contractor come in and build a 16-foot by 18-foot elevated deck. And the screws that he used were either not coated or not coated for the pressure treating. And when we asked about the treatment, he said that if you want it to weather to a nice gray finish, you didn't have to put any kind of finish on it, any kind of sealant. So we took his advice on the sealant to let it weather to a nice gray. And as you probably guessed, because we didn't seal it, we're seeing all kinds of checking and cracking. And because the screws weren't the correct screws for the pressure treating, the screws are corroding and stopping the holding. So my question to you, the contractor, who seems to be a pretty reputable guy, has offered to come out and remove all of the decking and the railing and replace it with Trex. I believe that's the brand name.
Okay.
And do that and just charge us his cost. So my question is, does that sound like a reasonable resolution? Or because he used the wrong screws and he gave us bad advice, should we be looking for a little bit better deal?
Well, when he says he's charging you his cost, he's charging you his cost on his labor and materials, or just the cost on the Trex?
He's coming back next week with a proposal, so we don't know yet.
I mean, the wood alternative like Trex or AZEK or TimberTech, you know, all there's many different kinds out there. It's expensive, and mm-hmm. The price that you pay versus the price, you know, he's obviously got margin and markup in all that when he puts that decking down, so. You know, if he's going to give you a super labor deal, I mean, the not treating the wood at all, that's not the greatest of advice, but some people do that. The wrong fasteners, that's an error. And so there, while he's giving you a deal perhaps on the cost, I would just double check that, in fact, he is. Where are you mm-hmm. at, Rob? You're in Brookfield?
Brookfield.
Yeah, so, you know, we have a sponsor here on WGN on the Mr. Fix-It Show, the Fox Home Center. And they're also, they're a big Trex dealer. And so, you know, I would go look at what their cost is. You know, if you just walking in, Rob says, hey, I want to do this deck. This is the square footage. What would the Trex decking cost me? You can get a price. Mm-hmm. And then you can keep this guy honest. If he says, oh, hey, Rob, I'm going to give you this thing for, you know, $5,000. And then all of a sudden you go to Fox Home Center and they say they can do it for $4,500. And you're just Rob walking in off the street. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, it's not – it doesn't sound unreasonable. You just want to make sure that he in fact, is giving you a good deal.
Okay. Now, as an alternative, I've crawled underneath the deck, and, boy, the decking on the bottom, it really looks nice still. So,
well, sure, because it doesn't see the sun.
All right. So if we were to get all of these screws out somehow, which is going to be a terrible job because they're corroded and they're breaking off, flip the boards over.
No.
Is there a process for sealing both and then – no? Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
Right, because water would get in the holes.
Well,
and
because the only way – no, that's not it. But the only way these boards are coming off, based on how you're describing this, he's going to cut those boards, and he's going to pry them off. And he's probably going to end up pulling the boards through the fasteners and then snapping the fasteners off and then cleaning it up and then reattaching. So it's just not worth it as far as I'm concerned. It's just a question of get it all off, see if you can get this kind of deal. It's an unfortunate situation that you have there, but I think that by going that route, if you can find it in, you know, the right price point, it should work out.
Okay, and just one more thing about the snapping it off. A couple of the stair steps have been loose, and I could just go over and pull them off with my hand. And
right.
The screws had corroded so much that they snapped, so it did no damage to the board. So even if we could get the boards up without damaging them, you're suggesting not go that way.
Well, I mean, I guess my concern is that you'll get some of them up. You'll get some of them up, but you won't get all of them up. And then you've got a problem where you've got these older boards and you got new boards, and you could stain it to all match in. It's just a question of how far you want to go. And maybe it's the type of thing when the guy sends you the proposal, you offer that as an alternative and say, hey, what if we tried this? And he could, if he got a few boards up easily, he could probably take a reciprocating saw and cut at the bottom. But the problem is then you damage the wood that you're then going to flip over. So it's a catch 22. It could or couldn't work. And you'll get halfway through and go, oh my gosh, we did all this work to try and save the boards and now it's really not worth it. And so nobody wins in that situation. I appreciate the phone call. Good luck with that project, Rob. It is 8:58 in the morning. We'll take a quick break.
Looking for some help this morning on your home improvement project?
How handy of a guy are you, Tom?
Tom, are you
still there?
You've got a question, he's got a solution.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. Your how-to.
Your go-to handyman. It's Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Help me down, but I
got up. Get ready. That's me. 9:10 in the morning. We've got an hour left of the Mr. Fix-It Show. Then Kathy and Judy make their way in. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by AccessBruno.com, Ace Hardware, and WetAndForget.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We've got our Just Text Me segment coming up. That's the same number. Last night we had a lovely party for my beautiful wife, Mary Beth, nice family party get together. She turned 50 yesterday, and she's not afraid to say it. She looks fabulous. We had a little Mexican fiesta, and I have been a complete disappointment for most of her birthdays of all of her lives. I've just never come through because she's the ultimate planner and gets everybody organized, and I've never quite gotten it all together, and through the great help of my children and my in-laws and my her family members, we had a terrific party last night, and everybody had a great time. Oh, my God, it was so much fun.
Happy birthday to her. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. She's listening, I'm sure. But we just had a great time, and it was fun. It was really fun. The surprise of the party was a mariachi band because it was a Mexican fiesta. And these guys were awesome. They were unbelievable.
How many of
them?
They
did five, and they did not only did traditional mariachi music, but they played Pink Floyd, Eric Clapton, New York, New York, mariachi style. It was fantastic. It was so much fun. So we had a great time. Happy birthday to my lovely bride. There's no one that looks that good at 50, let me tell you. She looks fantastic, and so we just had a great time. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 912 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's talk to Tammy, who's in Marengo. Tammy, you are on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
I am getting ready to move into a house that has a private well.
Okay.
The water in the house has a very strong sulfur rotten egg smell. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for suggestions on the best way to get rid of it.
Do you know if the house has a whole house filter?
I don't believe so.
Okay. A lot of times, well, first of all, did you have the well tested?
No, I have not. It's a shared well amongst three people.
I see. Okay. And your mortgage company isn't requiring any kind of water quality test?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if they required any, maybe a test to see if the functionality of the well was okay, but not water.
Okay. Okay. Well, if it's a shared well, you have, I think, limited options of what you can do. The sulfur smell, I mean, it can be the water makeup of the water. I would definitely have it tested, just the quality of it, to make sure you know what you're getting. Meaning, am I going to drink this water? Am I just going to bathe in this water? If it has a whole house water filter, like a canister type filter, when those filters get really dirty and gummed up, sometimes that sulfur odor can come through. And so changing that filter to a higher micron level can make a difference. If it has no filter, that can help as well. Now, there are also whole house systems that will treat that water before it comes out that are expensive, but it all depends on how far you want to go with this water. If you have no intention of drinking this water, then the filtering system might help with this odor, but not improve the quality of the water to drink.
Okay.
Does that make sense? When do you close?
We have closed on the house, and we're probably not moving into it until closer to August.
Got it. So you're doing like a little work and stuff?
Yes.
Well, then I would take a sample of that water and find, there should be a testing facility around your area that you could take a sample of the water and say, can you tell me what's in this water? It's worth it just to know. And then you can address, you've got a high blah, blah, blah. And so then maybe adding a whole house filter would make a difference.
Okay. And are those whole house filter systems pretty expensive?
No. The canister type that I'm talking about, you just have to get a plumber to install it. I mean, the filters themselves to replace are, you know, like 10 bucks a piece. The canister system's probably 40 or 50. Then you have to have the plumber install it with a couple of valves.
Okay.
I mean, the whole thing probably wouldn't cost you $200 or $300 to have done.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much, Lou.
Thanks, Tammy. Yeah, you too. I appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200. Phyllis is on the line. She's in Wilmette. Hi, Phyllis. You're on WGN.
Talk to you. I have a white corian counter in my bathroom, and I had an air freshener that has oil with sticks that come out to put the scent in the air. Well,
yeah.
The ceramic container left a yellow ring on my countertop, and I don't know how to get it out. I tried OxyClean. Soft Scrub. None of those things seem to get it out. Do you have any suggestions?
I do. Do you have a Scotch-Brite pad at the house?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I want you to put a little water on that, and I want you to scrub it out.
Is it, which Scotch-Brite is it? The pink?
The green one.
The green?
Yep.
And put water?
That white corian, you're going to sand off the stain.
Oh.
That corian that you have, if in fact this is corian.
It is.
You know it's, okay, That white that you see is all the way through.
Okay.
And so if you bear down on that green Scotch-Brite pad, and what I want you to do, though, is, Phyllis, I don't want you to just go right in that spot, you know, because you're literally going to sand it away. You're going to work across the whole surface, back and forth,
okay.
And it's going to come right off. And if all of a sudden you're like, "Ooh, this doesn't feel the same as the rest," then just scrub it some more.
Oh, okay. And it'll be smooth like the rest of the counter.
Yeah. Now you use the green to get the stain out, and then if you got a white Scotch-Brite pad to finish it off and just kind of work it in, you'll get it nice and smooth. Does this white countertop have a dull finish?
It's like a satin finish. It's not shiny, no.
Okay. So this can totally be refinished, okay? So in other words, if you don't have the shine level that you want, then you can buff it out, but you just need to get finer pads that you can get at the hardware store at the home center, and just with a little hand work, you can bring it back. It's like shining your shoes.
Okay, so I start with the green Scotch-Brite.
Correct.
And then get the white and finish it off.
Correct.
It's not, you know how the bathrooms have the corian going across the toilet? You know, it's like an arm that goes across the toilet. It's on
a banjo.
That side.
It's a banjo. It's a banjo top.
Right. So it's on the banjo part, not the rest of it, thank God.
As long as it's a solid surface corian material, that color that you see is all the way through and you can sand it out.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Phyllis. I appreciate your call.
Water in the green, just using plain water then, right?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck. I appreciate you calling. It's 9:19 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll take a quick break. Don't go away.
This is John Williams. Every Saturday morning, I listen to Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. And I say to my wife, Brenda, we got to do the stuff Lou's talking about. And then every Sunday morning, I say to Brenda, what did we do yesterday?
Hey, I hear that, John Williams. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Today I don't feel like doing
anything. I just want to lay in my bed. 9:23 in the morning. John Williams live in studio today at WGN this afternoon from 1 until 3. Kathy and Judy coming up at 10. The Wintrust Business Lunch at noon. We got your Saturdays covered here on WGN Radio. Thanks so much for waking up on Saturday mornings. Oh, and don't forget about Mike Steven and Outside the Loop Radio. It's a busy time here at the radio station. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Betty, who's in Chicago. Hi, Betty. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Thank you very, very much for calling. I'm calling about my rolling shutters.
You called me, you know.
Oh, that's right. But you answered, and that's what I appreciate. Thank you. Because I was holding, and I'm just so afraid.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here at my – I'm in an older house, a 1930s Georgian, and we have the rolling shutters on the outside of the windows, especially on the east side of the house.
Like a security shutter?
Pardon?
Like a security shutter or just a solar shutter?
Yes, and in fact, that was the main reason my mother installed them when my father passed away.
Okay.
For security, but they're great, too, for that hot eastern sun in the afternoon. And, of course, they are drawn at night also. They're only on the eastern side of the house, not on the western. They are, the bigger ones are electrical, and I'm calling about the bigger ones. And I said they are at least 20 years old. Now, up until 10 years ago, I'm a homeowner now, I did have regular maintenance, and I dealt with Cardiff Industries. And they always sent Chris every 2 or 3 years. 5 years ago, however, six, when I renovated and we had to disconnect one of the shutters, I could not get in touch with Chris or Cardiff. Now, two of my bigger shutters have failed. One as recently as this morning. And I just don't know who to call. The company, neither the company nor Chris seems to be. I just don't know how to get in touch with them.
Tell me the name of the company again.
It was Cardiff, C-A-R-D-I-F-F.
Okay. Well, I mean, these are all still made. The difficulty is the age of those, whether or not those motors or anything are available, or if they can retrofit them all. There's several companies in the Chicagoland area that do this. You're in Chicago. There's one company called, do you have a pencil?
Yes, and let me say, I am far south in Chicago. I worked in the far south suburbs. I go far north. I've been retired but I worked out there for 35 years.
But your home is on the
same. Everywhere. I just want the best I can get to take care of this.
Got it. So try this company, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Chicago One Rolling Shutters.
Chicago One Rolling Shutters. Have it.
And you just have to look that up. Well, actually, here, do you want a phone number? I got a phone
yes,
number.
Yes, please.
773.
773-783-2105.
Yeah, and they're in the city, and the, you know, they should come to you. And the thing is, don't be surprised with the age of those if they come and say, you know what, these things are too old, and I can't get the motors in here, Betty, and we may have to replace the shutter altogether.
Yes.
To get it to work. It's just a problem of, you know, age of that stuff and technology changes. And but then at the same time, maybe they can fix what you have. I just want you to be prepared for what may or may not happen.
I'm prepared. Now, if this doesn't work out, is there another number I should call?
I know of that company. I don't have any personal experience.
Okay.
So I can't. I mean, you could certainly do a search to find other companies. I mean, the NARI website might have some other choices, which is NARI.org, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry.
Okay.
You could try that, but I just know of that company. Again, no personal experience, just I know of them. And so I think that if you give them a shot, you can try and see where it goes from there, and then from there you can find out if you have to go further to find another company. I appreciate the phone call. It's 9:28 in the morning. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Nothing like tragedies and election cycles to help us clean out our friends lists on social media. Hyperbole, misinformation, or do we just not like hearing the things we don't want to hear? Looking back at the events in Orlando on the Saturday Night Special.
Amy Guth and the Saturday Night Special, tonight at 7 on 720 WGN.
Hi, it's Lou Manfredini. You know, as we age, stairs can become a challenge, but a Bruno stairlift is an easy and affordable solution. Stairlifts are about safety, and Bruno is the gold standard. Family-owned, Bruno has manufactured high-quality, dependable stairlifts in Wisconsin for decades. When you want made-in-America quality, Bruno is second to none. Find out more about Bruno stairlifts by calling Access, your local preferred Bruno dealer. Access will come to your home, discuss your needs, and give a free quote. I sat down with Frank, the vice president over at Access. He and his crew are true professionals, bringing compassion and expertise to every project. They've been the Midwest leaders in home accessibility for 25 years. Stay in the home you love with a Bruno stairlift from Access. To schedule an in-home estimate, call 844-IL-LIFTS, 844-IL-LIFTS, or go to accessbruno.com. Mention I sent you and get 10% off your stairlift. That's accessbruno.com. Achieving quality independence is more affordable than you think.
You know, Elif was asking me during that commercial. So I got a question from the listener. Is Freshwave a temporary or a permanent solution for odors? And I said, well, yes. She goes, which one? I go, well, both. It all depends. You know, the big thing with Freshwave is the fact that it doesn't cover up the odor. It helps eliminate it. But that being said, if you have a major issue like a leak where there's mold and mildew or something like that, you have to address that problem, and then the fresh wave will help eliminate the odors permanently. So you just, you know, you got to use it with common sense and know that the nice thing about the product is it's not like some smelly, you know, lavender. Not that I like lavender, but you just want to make sure that you're using it properly, and it will work, I'm telling you. Hey, if you've ever tried to get rid of that black and green stuff growing on or around the outside of your home, you know what a chore it can be, right? But did you know there's now an easy way to get rid of it without scrubbing or using bleach? The product is called Wet and Forget. It can be used on any exterior surface, including roofs, siding, sidewalks, decks, bricks, stucco, stone, awning, statue, lawn furniture, even your boat and RV. You simply dilute Wet and Forget with water and spray the surface. That's it. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, no power washing. And every time it rains, Wet and Forget gently breaks down and washes away the green and black growths for you. Wet and Forget is biodegradable. It's non-caustic. It's non-acidic. Contains no bleach. So if you want to get rid of the moss, mold, mildew, and algae growing on or around your home, pick up some Wet and Forget today in a blue bottle at participating Ace, Menards, and Lowe's Home Improvement stores. Or visit wetandforget.com to find a store near you.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
It is our Just Text Me segment at 9:38 in the morning. We ask you to send us some text messages. Not when you're driving, of course. And we'll try to rapid fire them. Elif sitting in for Lindsay. How are you doing over there, Elif? Are you sweating? Are you okay?
I might need some deodorant at the end of the show.
It's a lot to do, isn't it?
No, it's going well.
I know, but I mean, as someone, you know, you don't get to do this show often. When you're doing the show, you're like, wow, it would really be nice to have an intern.
Yeah, that would be
right?
An idea.
Right. I mean, it's so busy that it's hard for one person to keep up. So you're doing a fine job.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do you got going over there?
All right. Well, I've got 773 who says, "Hi, Lou. My 2-year-old golden doodle still burns the grass with his urine. Any product you know of to prevent this? Thanks in advance for any help."
Well, this is what we do because my black doodle still pees like a girl and he's a guy. And what I did, we happened to be fortunate enough to have a sprinkler system at our house. And I have the sprinkler system in the backyard going off every day for 1 minute. So just in the backyard, a couple of the heads go off for a minute just to neutralize and and thin out any of the urine that goes on there. So if you're fortunate enough with your golden doodle to have a sprinkler system, program it. If not, if you want to put a sprinkler system on a timer and a hose that you could put in the corner, kind of as permanent setup, it will work. I mean, I know that there's some things that you could add to the dog's food and stuff. I just don't know that that's ultimately healthy for the dog. It seems kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So just water it down, and the sprinkler system on a timer can really make a difference.
Okay. Karen says, dear Lou, is there a product that can be applied to the rubber strip on the bottom of my shower door to prevent it from getting hard and molding?
Not hard, but the mold and mildew issue would be something that if you started using the Wet and Forget shower spray, which is terrific, once a week you spray it all down, I think that you'll find that that becomes a issue of the past, and your shower will look a lot cleaner, too.
All right, 630 says, I bought one of these new washers that are high efficiency and is a top loader without an agitator in the middle. When it is filling with warm water, shakes the pipes also, but not as loud. Is there something I could do to stop this?
Shakes the pipes. So that's an issue with... shouldn't be an issue with the washer. It should be an issue with the pipes itself. So what I would try on that one is drain the system down, shut the main water valve off, open everything up in the house, all the valves, flush all the toilets, get all the water out, even turn on that washer to make sure that any water it tries to get in, it can't. then shut everything, turn the main valve back on, and refill the system to get air back in the chambers, the hammer chambers, and then that should stop it. You'll have to take the aerators off the faucets to clean it out, but that should solve the problem.
708 says, "Hi Lou, longtime listener. Looking for a solution to cut glare and heat from my family room skylights. What's your recommendation? Two fixed rectangular Velux skylights which are approximately 17 by 60 inches. Interior shade, exterior cover, window coating or film. Help."
Well, that heat gain is probably nice in the wintertime, so you can buy mini blinds that can be attached to the skylight that are motorized. It's not an inexpensive option, but it's great because you can open and close it, or you can install them depending on how high it is, that you can use a pole to open them and close them. There's also a roll shade that you can buy that with a pole you'd grab it and roll it and hook it, roll it and unhook it. So there are some pretty affordable options. I mean, a window film, you certainly could use a mirrored film. 3M makes it where you could apply it to the inside and it would reflect the sun back out there, but it would also change the kind of look of the skylight. It would tint it a little bit. So, I mean, you just have to go into that knowing that that could happen.
Okay, do you think we have one more we can do?
Sure.
All right, so 779 says, "Hello, Mr. Fix-It. I'm polishing some old brass doorknobs and their accessories. Is there something I can apply to them so they do not tarnish so quickly? Thanks."
Well, you can apply a lacquer coating to it where once you get it all done, you spray some clear lacquer over the top that will, the problem is with doorknobs, the oil from your hand will eventually wear off the lacquer. Where this works really well is on exterior products like a coach light, something you're not touching, and it doesn't oxidize as quickly. So the lacquer would work, but it's, you're going to wear it off. I mean, I don't know how often you're polishing the brass, but, it'll probably buy you a few more months before you have to repolish it. But it's better on items that you don't touch.
Well, thank you.
Nice job. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's our Just Text Me segment. Why don't we take a quick call before we have to take a break? Do we have Gordon in Elgin? I think we do, right? Gordon, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hello, Gordon. All right. How about we try Diane? How about Diane, who's in Aurora? Hey, Diane, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Good. Well, my daughter has bees, honeybees, in her attic, and she has tried fumigators, and they won't touch honeybees because of the protection thing, and she's right. Tried beekeepers, and they won't come out unless they know exactly where the honeycomb is and can just take the honeycomb and lift it out, or, you know, easily. We don't know exactly where this honeycomb is in the attic because they haven't wanted to go up and explore and get stung.
Right.
So is there any solution, any suggestion that you can make as to how to get rid of this, the bees and the honeycomb?
Where does your daughter live?
In Aurora.
Okay. And you've contacted beekeepers and they're, in other words,
they will come out and get, you know, a freestanding honeycomb that they can just put their suit on and lift it out. But since it's in the attic, they don't know if it's in the chimney, they don't know if it's in the wall boards. They just don't know the location of where this honeycomb is.
Right. Well, this is a sensitive issue because of the honeybees, and I think that yes. You need to start with a beekeeper that wants to, you know, harvest the honeycomb in a in a meaningful way. But how you locate, the thing is, if you go to an exterminator, you know, oh boy, that's a tough one.
They won't do it because of the protection of honeybees.
Correct. Right, yeah. Right. So, boy, Mike Steven had a whole thing on honeybees this morning on his show, but I don't know that they do this kind of work. This is a tough one. I think you have to have your daughter continue to call around to beekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
You need to convince one of them to come over to take a look at this. And maybe it's even the type of thing saying, can I pay you for your time to locate this?
They would pay anything because...
No, I understand. No, I understand. But, I mean, the thing is, I'm sure that, you know, you could probably stand outside and see where they're coming in at some point, but that doesn't necessarily tell you where this hive is.
Right.
And this is something you just it has to start with a beekeeper. I don't have a personal relationship with any beekeepers that do this type of work. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know, and so...
Well, they have called several, and they just have gotten nowhere with the beekeepers.
Right. You know what? I'll tell you what. Do me a favor. When Lindsay and I were talking about, we have some information, and I don't have it handy right now, about beekeeping and an organization that's around there, and we've been talking about having them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
She comes back this week, and we'll look into that. And I'm going to try. We'll try and cover this topic next Saturday.
Okay.
So, if you're around, and actually do this, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to have Elif take your information, and then we're going to get this person on the radio, and then if there's a way for them to help you and your daughter, we will. So hang on one second. Elif will get your contact information, and then once I learn a little bit more, we can get back to you and see if that's something we can help you out with, okay? It's 9:49 in the morning. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Our weekly roundtable, The Mincing Rascals, will look at this past week in Orlando. Hamilton tickets are coming to Chicago. What's the latest on that? And would Thomas Jefferson go? We'll ask him. I have two more presidential conversations coming to Chicago. One's with Jefferson, another one's with TR. The details this weekend.
Your weekly check-in with King John Williams, today at 1 on 720 WGN.
Father's Day is fast approaching, like tomorrow. Give your dad a gift he's really going to use. Even better, something that's maintenance-free, like By the Yard maintenance-free patio furniture. He'll never have to paint it, stain it, or store it. Plus, it'll look good all year round. And with By the Yard furniture, you buy it once, and you never have to replace it. Think about it. Wouldn't Dad love a new raised seat Adirondack chair or glider? Or how about a new table for his ceramic grill? By the Yard has so many new items to choose from. Well, maybe your dad is already a fan, and he's hoping for a new chair to add to his set. Well, if you order $400 or more before Father's Day, you'll get 70% off of a gliding ottoman. And, like Dad's words of wisdom, do it right the first time. By the Yard. Visit ByTheYard.net for a free color catalog, or head to Vernon Hills and see the showroom for yourself.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
Time for Lou's Last Call. Thank you so much for listening. Sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thanks to Susan Berkus for doing the news, Sam for doing the sports, and Elif for sitting in this morning, Ferguson for doing a fine job engineering. Our last caller this morning is Dominic in Elmhurst. Dominic, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call today.
How can I help you, sir?
I'm just looking for a couple product recommendations. I'm actually on my way to my local Ace Hardware.
Attaboy.
And I'm looking for two things. One is a good concrete sealer. I have a stamped patio concrete, and I like to seal it each year to keep the finish on there. And then the second thing would be a good aluminum siding wash to apply with a power washer.
With a power washer. Okay. I'll answer the second one first. Crud Cutter makes a gallon jug. You can buy a gallon jug at the Ace that you can feed through your pressure washer and use as the cleaner. Give it 10-15 minutes on the side when you apply it, and then blast it off with your pressure washer. On the concrete sealer, this may be harder to find at your local Ace, but the best concrete sealer is a product called Bone Dry. And it is a silica-based sealer that soaks into the concrete and permanently seals it. When you seal it, you're done.
Is it something you reapply year after year?
Nope. You're going to pressure wash that concrete patio. You're going to apply this Bone Dry product. It's going to cost you $70 for a gallon. You're going to follow the instructions, and you're going to be so happy.
Okay. Does it
Bone Dry?
Will it give my patio a nice shine? That concrete, that stamped concrete, a nice.
It's not going to give it a shine, but it's going to seal it.
Okay.
What have you been using?
Well, I actually use something that my contractor was putting it on each year, and it was, you know, it's really expensive, and I thought I'd try to find something I could do myself.
Right.
But it wears off after a year or two at the most.
Right, because it's a top coat. This goes into it, soaks into the inch of top inch of the concrete and seals it up. BoneDryProducts.com. I know you're driving. But keep driving and hold on, and I'll make sure that Elif gets you that information. And I also want to send you out an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone, brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. We'll be right back and talk to the girls. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers.
What are you doing for Father's Day?
Oh, I'm going to be with my beautiful family. They're all in town, which is nice.
Hundreds of them?
There's a lot of them.
What are they doing for you?
Which is hilarious because I had one sister, God rest her soul, and unfortunately, you know, I'm at that age and my parents are gone, and my wife has a really large family who we spend a ton of time with, and they're beautiful and they're wonderful, but there's just a lot of them. They're always very available.
You and your sister?
It was just my sister and I.
See, and that in my family, I have a son and a daughter, and I always feel kind of bad at holidays that
because
it's kind of small.
You had four siblings. You think
right.
There
were five.
You underserved.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I was very fortunate because I got adopted and accepted by her family.
Oh, that's
five.
Great.
Five total, you know, in the children, and they're all but one live locally, and all of their children, you know, all the cousins of our kids, and there's just a whole slew of them, and they're all wonderful, great.
Oh, that's neat.
And you're the griller-in-chief.
And we will all be grillers-in-chief tomorrow.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Happy Father's Day to you, Lou.
Thanks. Have a great show.
Thanks.